up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. We are here for the big free agent recap. We've got lots to talk about today. But the first thing I want to talk about today is that we are presented to you by Trophy Smack, aren't we, Tyler?
Yeah, Trophy Smack is a long sponsor with us. We have been with them for about a year now. And they are going to be bringing in some new things that you guys should get excited for. And
some nude things or new things?
Some new things. Maybe both.
Oh,
who knows?
Okay, just checking.
But you can go in there. And you should go get a trophy for your league. League year's kind of rolling around. You know, the home leagues, I feel like, are starting to roll over. My home leagues that are very inactive during the offseason are starting to roll over. They're starting to get the site going. It's a good time to get yourself a trophy. And when you do, use code DHHRING and get yourself a free $60 championship ring. Give it to whoever you want. Give it to the best commissioner in the world if there's one, which is probably Ryan McDowell. I don't know. Give him a ring. Go out and give yourself a ring if you won the championship. Like Doug's, he's won three straight. He deserves a ring. Me, I've won two straight.
Absolutely.
I deserve a ring. Tim, you'll get there. But we,
yeah, one of these days,
we want you to go out to trophysmack.com and go type in DHH ring when you go get your trophy, which you should because they are awesome, and get yourself a free ring.
Beautifully said, Tyler. Thank you very much. We're also going to give a shout out to the Sitter Start Fantasy app. Lots of good things happening on that end, so make sure you check it out on the Android Google Play Store as well as iTunes. They're going to be revamping a lot of stuff, but for right now, you can get all the breaking news when it comes to players, suspensions. Actually, I forgot to write that down. Hold on one second. I got to update my show sheet. I forgot there was some big news, the Friday news dump. How could I forget about the Friday news dump in the NFL? We'll talk about that here in a moment. I'm here with my co-host, Tyler Gunther, and Tim Keller. We just recorded our Patreon episode. So if you want to get to know about us, how we started in podcasting, and a little bit of our fantasy history, I would recommend you become a patron. And you get that extra podcast every single week. It's usually 15 minutes, half hour, sometimes longer. You know, a lot of times we talk about fantasy football, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we like to have fun. We talk about food. We talk about movies. Just anything that's on our mind. It's uncensored. So you get a little, you know, you get a little bit of that F-bomb flavor. So make sure if you're listening to that, make sure you have your headphones in at work. But check us out on patreon.com. That's /DHH, correct, Tyler?
Patreon.com/DynastyHHPod.
There's so many different slashes and... Yeah, it's crazy. So let's get into it. We've got lots and lots of news. It was a very exciting week in the NFL, a very exciting week for your dynasty leagues. I will say this. I'm going to make a plea to everyone. If you're in a league, make sure it rolls over before free agency starts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because the values of these players, wild swings. You know, you could have traded Tevin Coleman for a lot more last week than you can this week. In theory.
Yeah, in theory.
So there's been a lot of different things. We actually had in my home dynasty league, we had two new managers coming in, so the league didn't roll over on March 1st, and a couple people were salty because they had deals in principle. There was no trading, and now those deals involved players that were affected by free agency, so those deals might not go through. They were just verbally agreed to, so it's... I will say if you're a commissioner, make sure your league rolls over before free agency starts.
Also, if you do something like that, have a message board, a message post saying that we agree to this deal. Have both managers say, yes, agreed. Yes, agreed. And that will actually avoid it. Have a message proof that you guys both agreed to the deal, what the deal is, and that it will be processed when the league is rolled over.
Absolutely. So let's get into our first bit of news here before we talk about the big trade that went down that shook Dynasty to its absolute core.
Oh, that was awesome.
Let's talk about the Friday news dump. And I don't want to go too... I don't want to get too narrative street on it. I'll give you the news, and then I'll give you my take. How's that? And I think we can probably leave it at that.
Yep.
So Tyreek Hill, Friday night, 5:30, classic NFL news dump. Any kind of negative news in the NFL always comes out on a Friday night before the weekend. So I see on Twitter, Tyreek Hill. I see abuse. I see son with a broken arm. And immediately the reaction is, well, you know, he was arrested for abuse with his then pregnant girlfriend when he was in college. So everyone starts to draw the narrative like Tyreek Hill's done. He's done. And then more information comes out. So I'm gonna wrap this up quick. And if you guys wanna chime in, go right ahead. I'm gonna say if I own Tyreek Hill right now, I'm not panic selling. There's a lot of details in this story that we do not know. He wasn't named on the second police report. There's a lot of he said, she said, he wasn't arrested. Obviously, this might result in a suspension for Tyreek Hill. We don't know that yet. I mean, we look at past Zeke Elliott. There was, you know, he was never arrested or charged with anything, and he was suspended. There's a lot of different ways this can go. So if I am a Tyreek Hill owner in Dynasty still, and for me, I'm just holding. I'm not going to sell him for 50 cents on the dollar when this may be a big to much to do about nothing. Maybe he just gets a 4-game suspension. I can live with that. It's not the end of the world. Some people, if you have a moral compass when it comes to fantasy, that might be your thing. Like, trade him. And if you want to do that because you don't like guys like that on your team, that's your prerogative. For me, I'm agnostic. If a player plays and he puts up points, I'll have him on my team. I don't care if he's a piece of crap. Like, that's not my thing. But a lot of people did say that. Like, oh, he's done. I'm going to trade him. If you do your roster how you see fit. But I think for the most people, they're just going to hold. Or if you want to try and go out and buy him, it's the time to do it, as much as I hate to say it. If you want to make a lowball offer and maybe that manager wants to move on, then you do it. Still a lot of information to be unpacked. I don't want to draw any narratives to how he is as a human being when we don't have the facts in front of us. So I'm just going to leave it at that. If you guys got anything to add, go right ahead. If not, we'll move into the big trade.
Nailed it.
Cool. So let's move on to a massive, massive trade when it came to Dynasty. This impacted the stock of many players when this trade was done. So the Giants, Gettleman says, for weeks, he's not trading Odell Beckham. I didn't sign him to a long-term deal to trade him. And then all of a sudden, we get news that Odell Beckham is traded to the Cleveland Browns for the 17th overall pick, a third-round pick, and safety Jabril Peppers. So now Odell Beckham goes to Cleveland with Baker Mayfield, which is immediately rocketed Baker Mayfield. He's some people's QB2 in Dynasty.
Or QB1.
Or QB1. I mean, obviously, depending what happens with the Tyreek situation, right? That'll impact Patrick Mahomes. So Mayfield is some people's QB1. I don't have him quite highly that rated.
Me neither.
So the domino effect of this, how this affects Jarvis Landry, how this affects David Njoku, how this affects Duke Johnson, Kareem Hunt, who we also found out is going to serve an 8-game suspension. So that was another news that came out. We know the suspension is half the season for Kareem Hunt. You know, not necessarily how this affects Nick Chubb, the Odell Beckham Jr. move. I don't think affects Nick Chubb very much. So what I want to do is I want to talk to Tim and Tyler, and I want to get your first Dynasty reactions to this move. So I'm going to start with you, Tim. What did you think? What was your immediate reactions when you saw Odell Beckham Jr. from both the Giants side and the Cleveland side when you were thinking about players and how it impacted their values immediately after the trade?
So my immediate reaction, and I'll try to get through this quickly, is Sterling Shepard, I don't think, is a one. I don't think he can beat double coverage on his own. I think that we're going to get a little more clarity at the tight end position. We're going to get ourselves another tight end one in Evan Ingram. I think he's going to be a locked and loaded tight end one going forward with Eli there. For the Browns, they've had a hell of an offseason. I mean, they've just built piece after piece after piece right now. Odell is good down the field. He's good deep. He's good in the intermediates. Jarvis is good, quick, you know, quick, fast routes closer to the line of scrimmage. I think it helps both of them. I don't think Odell's ever played with anybody in the pros as good as Jarvis, and I don't think Jarvis has ever played with anybody in the pros that take coverage away like Odell can. Really, I think this hurts Antonio Callaway. I was really looking forward to his year two. They had just resigned Rashad Perriman like the day before, at least had the verbal agreement. And right away he has to back out of that deal, you know, for obvious reasons. I mean, they go and trade for Odell Beckham. He's not going to play. And then Njoku, some people were saying this really hurts Njoku. I don't see how it does. How can you keep that safety over the middle of the field now when you have all these other weapons flying around? you know, Njoku's going to get the one-on-one coverage against linebackers, which, guess what? He's much more athletic than 95% of them in the league. So I think that helps Njoku a ton. And, of course, Baker Mayfield, you got to love it. He looked great, great to end the season last year. And all they've done is just add new toys for him to go out and play with.
Yeah, I tweeted after this move was done that I said, you know, what's the likelihood that Baker Mayfield puts up like a, you know, if you want to talk crazy, like, does he put up a 45 to 50 touchdown season potentially for Cleveland? Like, I could see it.
Yeah,
I mean, there's
not, yeah, it's not
he's set up. He is set up to succeed from his offensive line to every offensive piece around him. They are the Cleveland Browns are doing it smart. You know, unlike some teams with young quarterbacks on a rookie contract, like the Texans, who don't want to invest in an offensive line to protect their asset. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? You know, the Browns are setting Mayfield up for success, and I think he's going to have a massive 2019. So, Tyler, what were your thoughts on the move?
I loved it. I actually like it for Nick Chubb. I think it's going to open up a bunch of holes in the run game. So I love it for Nick Chubb. Odell, he has Baker now. So that's a huge step up from Eli. I think Jarvis is actually going to do well with this because he will actually get coverage rolled off of him, which it was. He probably had a safety, you know, blanketing him in the back. I think it helps out Jarvis. It gives him the comfort. Two buddies playing. They're going to be competitive. They're ultra competitive. You hear stories about them talking at Pro Bowls and all that, and they love playing with each other. Like the competitive streak that they have is going to be fun to watch. So I think they're going to feed off of each other. Njoku, we'll see. I'm a little worried about him, but the talent's there, and maybe he'll kind of be the forgotten man. He'll be the guy that, there's somebody else we got to cover.
I think people are overreacting to Njoku because you have to remember, to be a tight end one in fantasy, if Njoku finishes the season with, let's say, 500 yards and 9 touchdowns,
that's
he's a tight end
yeah,
one.
Yeah, high-end tight end one.
That's a tight end one. So you don't have to have him go out there and have 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns for him to be a tight end one. Like,
no,
I'm fine with it. Like I own Njoku. I am soaked in Njoku shares. I own him in almost every dynasty league I'm in, and I'm not worried. I had somebody lowball me in Pigs 2 for David Njoku, a 2020 second round pick for David Njoku, and it's tight end premium. I don't laugh out loud physically very often, but that was a moment where I was like, get out of here. And I sent a nice response like, hey, I know people are concerned with Njoku. Like, he's my dude. I'm not selling him.
Hey,
thanks, though.
Bro. What are you doing?
Bro, what are you doing sending me this low ball offer? What do you think? I'm going to draft Tommy Sweeney to replace him? What are you doing?
So,
I mean, you're still drafting Tommy Sweeney.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah, for $1, absolutely.
So, and with Baker, I know Shane from the Trades HQ pod said, Baker's probably quarterback one for him with all the weapons. For me, it goes Mahomes. It goes Andrew Luck. Easily. Luck and Mahomes are probably interchangeable. Luck, Mahomes, Wentz, and then Baker. I'm still put my flag in Wentz. I still think Wentz is going to be a guy that is going to produce quite well with his new weapon we'll mention. Wentz is somebody that I just feel like gets all the hate. Everybody hates Carson Wentz. Is it because he's a redhead, guys? Like, this is hashtag analysis right here.
I think it has to do with his terrible acne.
That could be it. Which is terrible. Like, no, not the acne, but the people make fun of his acne. Like, maybe you should be sponsored by Proactive.
Get some Proactive, get a sponsorship. Yeah. Man, meet Carrie Underwood possibly. Like,
that's true.
Cool.
I think Avril Lavigne was on
I think she used
to
pimp. Yeah. Avril Lavigne's doppelganger, because the real Avril Lavigne's dead.
Oh, here we
Google
go.
That. You'll get sucked into that for like
an
hour.
Yeah, that's a deep, deep hole. By the way.
That's a black hole of information.
I would love to meet Carrie Underwood.
That's a blackhead of information. But anywho. But yeah,
very well done.
Everybody wins. Callaway, I still think, is going to be a boom-bust guy. Perfect best ball guy. He's going to have a game where it's
he'll have some good weeks.
Yeah, 3 catches, 120 yards, 2 touchdowns. Like, he's going to have those weeks. Baker, can he hit 45, 50? Maybe. I'd put it at about 35, 38 or so.
I'd bet the over on 40.
That seems a bit rich to me. I mean, you think
only 2 quarterbacks did it last year. Yeah. It was just Mahomes and Luck.
You think Beckham's going to get what? 12 at least?
Yeah.
Jarvis.
At least 10.
Jarvis, yeah. I think he's going to get...
3.
No, I honestly think he'll probably get 6, 7.
I was going to say 5, 6.
Mm-hmm. And then...
Callaway will get 5, yeah. maybe.
Njoku, hopefully 10.
22.
Chubb, though. I think Chubb gets 12-plus rushing touchdowns.
I can see that.
And I think they're going to pass to run the ball, which is Ted Monken's favorite philosophy. So it's going to be a fun offense to watch. Cleveland is fun. I love it. And
the bandwagon is full.
I honestly think my favorite part about this is seeing Jarvis and Beckham playing together because they're best friends. All you hear is stories about them just chatting with each other, very competitive. And
Do you think when they run routes, they'll hold hands and skip as well?
Hopefully. But I just think that they're going to feed off of each other's competitiveness. I think they're going to make each other better, which is going to be fun to watch.
The flip side of that is it could also potentially not be good.
Yeah, but I feel like Jarvis kind of hit rock bottom last year. I think.
Well, and they've played together, so I get that that dynamic is probably already there with the two of them. So I don't think it'll be an issue, but you can draw a narrative where, like, two ultra-competitive guys, and if someone's not getting the ball, like, I don't think they will.
The best part about it,
I don't think it'll be a problem.
The best part about it is we all know Odell Beckham's kind of is a drama. Jarvis has his moments, but I think Jarvis
is he, though? Like, I don't know. I think the OBJ drama thing was totally blown out of proportion.
New York media. But
absolutely.
But I think Jarvis is the more level-headed. Like, hey, man, get your crap straight. Let's go. Let's go out and ball. Like, any time a media comes after OBJ.
Well, he does give great speeches in the wide receiver room.
Yes,
so.
And I think anytime OBJ gets, you know, attacked by the media, which he will, because it's OBJ, he's a high-profile dude, I think Jarvis is going to come in and be like, hey, dude, show it on the field. Let's roll.
Yeah, it's quite possible. So that was the big news. My initial reaction is very similar to yours. I actually think Sterling Shepard might be a trade candidate because they signed, spoiler, they signed Golden Tate to a pretty big deal, and he's a repetitive asset to me, in my mind. I know a particular team around here that could use a receiver like Sterling Shepard.
Oh, God, if they got Sterling Shepard, I would love it.
And we'll talk about the New England receivers in a little bit.
I think Sterling Shepard is a very good receiver. I still like Sterling Shepard a lot.
I agree.
And I think he gets a lot of hate for who he is. He is who he is. We can't expect more from him. He's just a really good slot receiver that wins.
Yep.
And he needs a good spot that uses him.
I know one. All right, so let's get into, let's talk about running backs first. That seems to be the lifeblood of most fantasy teams. It's pretty important position.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, dynasty, it used to be wide receivers. I think it's more running back based. Let's be honest. The big names in this free agent class for fantasy were running backs. Wide receivers, there's not a lot of major names, right? Except, you know, the guys that got traded. Antonio Brown, which you talked about
and
last week.
And no Stephon Diggs. He is not getting traded. Dear Lord.
I saw that, like, him and his brother was like, oh, Diggs is a Redskin. And I was like, why would they trade him?
Yeah, it makes no sense. And the only thing that kind of got to me was Case Keenum's there now, and him and Keenum had, and I'm like, no, don't even get into that wormhole. That's not happening.
I can't see that happening.
No.
That Stephon Diggs is going to be traded. So let's talk about running backs. We had some interesting landing spots here that shook up some different places. So let's start at the top. We had Le'Veon Bell after, you know, the drama of Le'Veon Bell, like, oh, I'm going to sign soon, and someone saying, you know, he's going to be a Raven, look out, and this, that, and the other thing, which was obviously trying to drum up interest in Le'Veon Bell when there wasn't much. His market wasn't very good. He shot himself in the foot by not playing this year for $14 million, by not signing a long-term deal with the Steelers for $15 million a year, and instead he gets an average of, like, I think it's like almost 12 or 13 from the Jets. I like this fit for him from a fantasy perspective. I like the Jets offense all of a sudden because they also made another move. I'll just link these together. They signed Jamison Crowder, who I've been a fan of for a handful of years.
All
you know, when he's not injured, people forget in 2017, the back half of the season, he was a top 12 receiver, and a lot of people forget that. The talent's still there. So now you add Le'Veon Bell in an offense with a second-year Sam Darnold, who had flashes of being really, really good as a rookie. You still got Robbie Anderson on the outside. You've got Jamison Crowder in the slot. You've got Chris Herndon, who showed out in his rookie year in flashes. You got Le'Veon Bell behind a pretty good line. They got Kelvin Beachum at left tackle. They traded for Kelechi Osemele at left guard. If you don't know who I'm talking about, it's fine. I'm talking about offensive linemen, but they're good. There's definitely some things there to set up Le'Veon for success. They released Isaiah Crowell, so he's not going to have to compete with the Crow, who will run for 200 yards 1 week next year for God knows what team. Le'Veon Bell to the Jets. Outside of a couple other landing spots, I think this is a really, really good spot for him where he can soak up 20 to 25 touches on a relatively fresh pair of 260-pound legs. I don't know if he's 260 pounds. That was the rumor that he ballooned. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this is a great spot. Tim, Le'Veon Bell to the Jets. Are you yay or are you nay?
I think if it's a short-term win-now window, 100% I'm yay. If I'm in rebuild mode, I'm not looking to buy Le'Veon Bell. Because by the time I'm in that window to win, I don't think Le'Veon's going to be much of a use. But you got to love the pieces that the Jets do have in place. They went out and, like Doug said, they added some linemen, which obviously Lev needs or wanted a good offensive line in front of him. But Darnold in December, I believe he was the rookie player of the month for December. He
balled out up until the Patriots game. He struggled a little bit. But up until then, he was averaging like 300 yards a game and multiple touchdowns.
He's good.
So he had a heck of a way to end the season, that's for sure. And just like Doug said, you got to love Crowder there as well. He does a lot of good things. He's just a very solid football player, and the Jets are really going to love him. He's going to complement the speed of Robbie Anderson very well.
I'm also forgetting another Jets receiver. Who's the other outside receiver?
Quincy Enunwa.
Enunwa, that's right. And I love Quincy Enunwa. How could I forget about Quincy?
The issue with him is he's a slot receiver. He played better in the slot. And people are wondering if Crowder's going to play. No, Crowder's playing in the slot. He's 5'9", a buck 70-something, but he's very quick. He's got great routes. He's a guy he's a slot guy. So Quincy's going to have to move outside, either that or they trade him, cut him. They're going to do something with him, but he's not a slot receiver anymore.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So yeah, I agree with Tim. If you're, the Le'Veon Bell, the thing that's going to be interesting with Bell is that typically a running back coming off a 400 touch season regresses a lot. But this is going to be the exception to the rule because he's coming off 400 touches to zero touches.
So it's like 200.
So this is really going to skew that narrative. We talk about Le'Veon Bell. But again, yeah, if you're in a win now, and we've seen his dynasty stock being a top five pick in 20, startups in 2018, he was right up there, maybe top 10. But some people would take him in the top five. And now you can arguably get him in the second round of startups. Like, I don't really have anything against that. I mean, bell cow backs are so hard to acquire. A guy that's going to touch the ball 20 to 25 times. And Le'Veon Bell is the definition of that. I like that move if you're win now. But yeah, if you're rebuilding, I think you could trade him now while his value is high, especially since he went with a new team. So let's get on to the next running back. There's really three that I want to talk about, the big ones, and then we'll hit some bullet points on some other guys that were interesting signings. The second one I want to talk about is Mark Ingram to Baltimore. Baltimore released Alex Collins after he had an incident, so he is no longer on the team. Ty Montgomery is a free agent. He did not re-sign. So it's pretty much you got Mark Ingram, you got Gus Bus, who I think this kills Gus Bus, first of all. And then you have Kenneth Dixon, who does have some versatility pass catching and looked really good last year in a lot of spots, as did Gus, let's be honest. I love this fit from a real football standpoint for Mark Ingram, but I also really, really like it for fantasy football. Tyler, what was your thoughts on Mark Ingram signing here with the Ravens, the most run-heavy team in the NFL?
I'm right there with you. I thought
outside of Seattle, I think.
When he hit with the Ravens, I thought to myself, this is a perfect landing spot. He's the perfect running back for Baltimore. They have a good offensive line. He's going to catch passes out of the backfield. I mean, Mark Ingram's going to have a probably borderline RB1 year, if not better. Like, there's a chance he could be one of the top running backs in fantasy this year because I think he's going to get volume. He got 3 years, $15 million. I don't think that's overspending, but I think they got a deal on a guy that hasn't been used as much. He's got a lot of tread on the tire. Yeah, he may be 29, but I have a weird Frank Gore feeling about Mark Ingram. He's a guy that I feel like is going to be in the league for quite some time. Maybe he's a guy like a Fred Jackson, Frank Gore, that goes till 34, 35. So yeah, I love this spot for
Frank Gore is going to play long enough that his son is in the NFL.
And I love it.
It's only like three. It's only like three more or four more years. Frank Gore will be like 38, 39. Like he'll be like the Satchel Paige of NFL. He'll just be there forever.
The Ken Griffey.
Yeah. So I think for this Ingram deal from a dynasty impact, you could probably, up until Ingram signed, you could probably acquire him for a mid-second. I think you probably have to give up a first to get Mark Ingram if you're a win now team. And if you're building for the future, this is the time to sell Mark Ingram because his value is not really going to be any higher. So you can get a first, most likely a late first, like a 110 to 112, you know, maybe 19 if you stretched it, but this is definitely your window to sell Mark Ingram and get that first round back because he's not going to go for a second rounder anymore because this fit is so perfect for him.
And honestly, going back to your point, win now, I'd probably give up 105, 106 because
this running back class.
Yeah, it's not looking as pretty as we might have thought in January and February.
Well, you look around the league and you're like, landing spots, where can a guy go that can make a year one impact? And it's like Oakland.
Yeah.
Couple other spots. Yeah. Tampa. Houston. Sorry, Rojo. Tyler's trying not to sub.
But yeah, I agree. Like the landing spots kind of fizzled out. You had Carlos Hyde going to Kansas City. That's gone. Like they're probably not going to draft somebody unless it's.
No, they have so many defensive needs. Yeah. They would take a running back in like the sixth or seventh round. It'll be like a Devin Singletary. Oh!
But yeah, I agree. The landing spots are few. So Mark Ingram, if you're a win now team, I think Mark Ingram plays for another 4 years and plays quite well. Yeah.
So let's flip the script, and I'll get to Tim here. Let's flip the script on a running back that we all thought would have a great opportunity, like maybe if he signed with Philadelphia or if he signed with a Tampa. And when we all found out that Tevin Coleman signed with the 49ers, we were all like, oh. Because they already have Matt Breda. They have Jerick McKinnon coming back from an ACL, who they've invested heavily in. And, you know, they don't appear – I don't think they're going to cut him or trade him because I think the cap hit would be more than Tevin Coleman's contract. No? Tyler's shaking his
head. He's probably coming home to Minnesota.
Get out of here. They can't afford him.
Nah, contract restructure. There's a chance that he could just be backing up Delvin. Stays.
Mike Boone season. Anyway, so let's get to Tim. So Tim, instant analysis on Tevin Coleman being reunited with his boy, Kyle Shanahan.
Shanahanigans.
My initial reaction was just a big sigh, a toss of the phone. Like, really? Really, yeah. Shanahan? I mean, I get it. Tevin Coleman had a hell of a year. Shanahan's last year there in Atlanta. But Coleman has a little bit of McKinnon in him. He's got a little bit of that one cut runner in him, you know, which is different than the McKinnon. But really, I mean, I think the best runner on that team
is Matt Breda.
Is the undrafted free agent from last year, Matt Breda. Once I actually sat down and thought about it for a couple minutes, I'm like, Coleman's not a better runner than he is.
At the halfway point in the season, I believe Matt Breda was the NFL's leading rusher.
Yeah. Jerick McKinnon is not a better runner than Matt Breda is. But then they also brought back Raheem Mostert.
On a multi-year deal for decent money. So they are just investing. Maybe they don't like Jimmy Garoppolo to throw passes. They're just going to hand it off every down.
I mean, it's a good way to keep him healthy.
They're like, you know what? We didn't hit any receivers, so let's just stock up on running backs. Maybe they'll move McKinnon to the slot.
I mean, my initial reaction was just like, I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. I thought there was, like you said, a repetitive asset. I thought they had guys that could do what Tevin could do, but just better already on the team. So I didn't get it, but I'm sure he'll be a role player. I'm sure Shanahan will cook up some ways to get him involved in the offense. And I think this is one that I'm really going to have to watch the camp battle and read the reports and see what's happening there in San Francisco.
My initial, after kind of processing it, is I'm going to try and buy any of those three guys because their price is going to be depressed. Yeah. And all it takes, so if you could get Breda, who everyone's like, oh, well, Breda's third on the depth chart now. Like, if you can get Breda on the cheap, all it takes is, I mean, Jerick McKinnon's injury prone. Tevin Coleman isn't a three down back. I mean, all it takes is one injury and then Breda's bumped up a spot, you know, and then maybe if they trade McKinnon, like Tyler's, you know, thinking they're gonna, he's going to go back to Minnesota and ruin Mike Boone, you know, then that might be the play there too. So let's move on. We're not going to talk too much about McKinnon to Minnesota because I like to hear Tyler be quiet for a little while. So let's just go around the horn on the rest of these some interesting running back signings that we had. So Tim mentioned Raheem Mostert re-signing, which to me was, I saw the money and I was like, okay.
Yeah, that one was,
So we had Mike Davis sign with Chicago, which I think is an underrated move. Jordan Howard is supposedly still on the trading block. If a team needs Jordan Howard, cool. I'm not a huge fan of Howard because he doesn't catch passes. Latavius Murray will be the Mark Ingram replacement in New Orleans. So I thought that was an interesting spot for him in fantasy. I have him in a couple of spots. And I think that kind of breathes a little bit more life into his fantasy value if he is going to take over for Ingram. Or this could be Alvin Kamara season. And then maybe Bingo. Latavius is just the case of emergency.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you guys. I saw some people on Twitter like really going nuts, like shooting rockets off about Latavius Murray to the Saints, and I'm like, that just means they're going all Kamara all the time until they need to get him off the field to get a couple, you know.
And then like
of
Latavius is a capable body, like yeah. We can get him out.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the way I took it.
And then the last running back I just want to touch on was Adrian Peterson re-signed a two-year, $8 million deal with the Redskins. So this was a red flag to me because they already have Chris Thompson. They re-sign AP at $4 million a year for 2 years after being a street free agent. And he came in and he was like the sixth or seventh leading rusher in the NFL at his age and looked great at times. So for me, this was a red flag about Darius Geis. You know, I'm not going to say I'm concerned about the ACL. I mean, that could be a factor in this signing. But to me, like, I was thinking Geis was going to be the guy with some Chris Thompson mixed in. Now you've got Adrian Peterson. And I have to give credit to Darius Geis. If you follow him on social media, handled it awesome. Like, he's like, I want to learn from AP. I want to see what he sees. Like, Darius Geis wants to be awesome. And for him to take that approach instead of being like, oh, this guy's going to take my touches, him being like, I want to learn from the best. Like, this is a total Tyler narrative, right? This is like, you know, the story that you tell. Yeah. Sorry, Tyler.
The hard worker. This is the guy we want to have. Lunch
exactly.
pail type.
So seeing the tweets of Geis and his passion for behind the signing to learn from AP means, man, Geis wants to be great. And for that reason, I was already a buy Darius Geis guy. Now I'm even more of a buy Darius Geis guy because the owner's going to be like, man, they just re-signed AP for 2 years. Like, I don't want to wait. He's coming off an injury. Go get Darius Geis. That's all I'm going to say. Tyler, any thoughts on this round robin of free agents running back signings?
I'll just kind of wheel back to what you're talking about with Geis. Like you said, I'm buying. I think AP is a good person to learn from. They have very similar running styles, violent. Like to hit the hole and see ya. We're going.
They
we're
like to crush.
Contact. Yep. And I think it'll actually help guys. I mean, we don't know how far along he is in his injury process. And if he is still recovering, I mean, what not a better person for the Redskins to have than somebody who knows the system, who did well, and also can split carries with guys and, you know, hey, here's what I'm seeing. This is what you should do. One of the best running backs to ever play the game. What better person to learn from? Like, it's almost like having Frank Gore on a team.
Yeah, absolutely. Tim, any thoughts on these running backs at all?
No, I think you guys did a great job. I was just going to quickly say, if you don't follow Darius Geis on Twitter, he's a great young man. Like Doug said, he took this signing in particular very well.
It was refreshing to see.
Yeah, he seems like he's a very... there's sometimes where these young people maybe put things out there that they probably shouldn't. They don't think about the profession first. This guy seems to have a very good head on his shoulders. He's fun follow. Go check him out on Twitter.
Absolutely. So let's move on to wide receiver. We don't have really too much to talk about at quarterback and tight end because it was very bleh. So let's move on to wide receiver. You know, we already talked a little bit about Jamison Crowder and his impact for the Jets. We talked about Golden Tate. As well for the Giants, which I'm not a huge fan of that move as a football move or for Golden. I think Golden Tate, I don't think he's washed, but I think he's He's a wide receiver four on your roster, and he got paid cool. Like, I have no desire to roster Golden Tate. Maybe if I'm in a win now and I could give up a third for him,
yeah,
I guess I might do that.
Just as a depth receiver.
Yeah, as a depth receiver, but that's about it. So we're not going to talk too much. So the first one I want to get to, which I thought was if there was any player that could have signed in a great spot, it was Devin Funchess signing with the Indianapolis Colts. I thought that was a good move to be paired with Andrew Luck. It's a one-year, $10 million deal with like another $3 million in incentives. So it's a prove-it deal for him. From a guy that's had, you know, a good season in the NFL, not last year, but the year before. I think he hit 1,000 yards. And, you know, they don't really have that big, sizable receiver. They have some tight ends that Andrew Luck likes to throw to. But I kind of like this move for Funchess, who a lot of people were down on. And to me, to land in a spot where Andrew Luck's your quarterback and they don't go and sign any other receiver. Now, they might draft one. You know, they still have a ton of cap room. The Colts still have the most cap room in the NFL, and they haven't really spent much of it, which is interesting to see. But they spent some on Funchess, giving him a one-year deal. So, Tyler, any interest in Funchess at all now that he's with Andrew Luck?
Well, yeah, but I think now's the wrong time to buy because he is going to probably fetch a good value. You're going to go up to an owner, and he's just going to feed you with a spoon, always with Andrew Luck. Always on a good offense. Oh, he's going to do great. Here you go. Look at Ebron. Oh, keep eating. So
I think they're going to draft a receiver, and it's going to hurt Funchess's value. So if you can sell him right now.
I don't hope so, because my buy for that team is Deion Kane. And I would love to go buy Deion Kane. He was getting a ton of buzz last offseason as a guy that's going to play opposite T.Y. Hilton, a guy that fits that offense so well. Deion Kane, you got to remember, was a guy in Devy Leagues that was getting very highly drafted, a guy that a lot
Clemson
of people
receiver.
Liked. And I still like people. He went in second rounds, even though he's a sixth round pick. He went in second round of rookie drafts last year and is now forgotten. And I have been trying to pick him up in a lot of leagues. He is the guy I'm going after now because I think he benefits from the value loss on his stock than Funchess going out and buying him on the rise. Don't get me wrong, Funchess is going to probably do well in fantasy. He'll probably have his best year, but I don't know. I'm going to stay away from that price.
Hey, if he gets half of Eric Ebron's touchdowns, he'll have like 6 or 7.
Yeah, but could he have like a Tyrell Williams season where it's just below 1,000 or like hits 1,000 and has like 8 or 9 touchdowns? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the passing volume is going to be there. Yeah. So, Tim, I'm going to flip it to you for this next move. And it was a trade. So we did have another wide receiver trade. We didn't talk about it at the top. But this is near and dear to Tim's heart as a Philadelphia Eagles fan as they bring their son back to Philly. DeSean Jackson gets traded from Tampa Bay to Philly. So, Tim, I want you to talk a little bit about the move for the Philadelphia pieces and also on the other side for Tampa. So what is it, you know, how does this impact Tampa? How does it impact Philadelphia?
Well, we'll start for Tampa. I think it is just, I think Tampa's saying Godwin's ready. He's ready to be, you know, the Robin to Mike Evans' Batman. And then they, you know, they went and signed Rashad Perriman, which we talked about earlier, was originally verbally agreed. And then the Odell trade happened. So Tampa ends up with Rashad Perriman, who showed a little bit at times last year. But I really like Godwin as a bump in value down there in Tampa after this. But for the Eagles, you can't necessarily like the age of DeSean Jackson, but what is he, 34, 35
Speed's
years old?
Speed's still
he's
there.
Younger than that.
He's younger
is
than
he?
That,
he's
yeah.
31.
Okay. The guy's still amazingly fast. And what was the biggest Eagles weakness on the passing side of the offense last year? They didn't have that field stretcher. They didn't have the deep threat. And, you know, the Tampa game, the Eagles played against him. First offensive play of the game. DeSean beats us deep.
See you later.
Yeah. It was going to be a rough day right from that first play. So I think strategically it makes sense for the Eagles. You know, I think it's something they need to try to find somebody with youth to eventually do here in the next year or two. But for now it works. And it's good to have a guy like DeSean back in your locker room because he's not the type you want standing on the other sideline talking, you know, his trash deal game.
Yeah, and I think that definitely helps Carson Wentz as well. You know, they picked up the option for Nelson Aguilar, which is like $9-something million, which I was kind of surprised they did that.
Me too.
Because apparently the Eagles and the Saints just have this pile of money for the cap. I don't know how they manipulate it, but like the Saints just signed like Nick Easton from the Vikings for like $6 million a year. And I was like, where is this money
Max
coming
Unger
from?
Retired. Like, so that's where the money's coming from.
I know that's part of it. And plus Drew Brees' cap hit next year is $40 million.
Holy crap.
That's a record.
So,
whew. All right.
I want to go back. I think Wentz and DeSean Jackson fit each other magically. I think they are like peanut butter and jelly. And like I said, I love Wentz. I think Wentz is going to be on the Moncrief Hill, even if he just keeps falling. Wentz is going to be my
dude.
We'll
talk about him in a few minutes.
This is awesome for Wentz. This is the weapon they needed. They needed a speed guy. And Aguilar, I think, is a great buy because he is right back where he belongs in the slot. And yeah, he might not get the targets, but he's going to have some games where you can just if he's your wide receiver 5 or 6 and you're like, crap, I have 2 wide receivers on bye. I need help. He's going to be a guy that
he's a fine filler.
Yeah. 4 for 45 or so. And then hopefully he gets a touchdown or breaks a long one.
He had that like 10 catch game for like 50 yards, like in week 1 or 2. Yeah. That was hilarious. So I do want to circle around a little bit back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because they also did lose Adam Humphries in free agency. And there was interesting, very interesting things with Adam Humphries. So he ends up signing with the Tennessee Titans. The Patriots make a late push and they try to get Adam Humphries away from the Titans. He verbally agreed and he was a man of his word and said, you know what? I verbally agreed with Tennessee. That's where I'm going to go.
Wrong move, bud.
The Patriots. So here's the thing that's crazy to me. The Patriots, who don't have a ton of cap room, were willing to pay Adam Humphries $9 million a year.
And since then, he's about to be a stud.
And since then, so the answers to this move, they don't make a trade for OBJ. Supposedly they were in on Antonio Brown. I don't know if I buy that. So they make a couple moves at receivers for Bruce Ellington and Maurice Harris. Now, Maurice Harris, I actually like. Ellington, he's fine in the slot. I think there's a trade coming for New England come draft day. I don't know if it's AJ Green. I think it's someone notable they're going to try and trade for.
What if it's freaking Stephon Diggs?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Here's the thing. They don't have a ton of cap room, so it's going to be interesting. But I think a trade is coming where they're going to get a wide receiver that people know of and bring him onto the team. I also think because their lack of movement, they re-signed Philip Dorsett to a 1-year deal. They said they're going to give him a bigger role. Chris Hogan, still a free agent. We don't know if he's going to come back. You have Edelman, obviously. Braxton Berrios, if he maybe becomes a thing. Maybe he's the next Edelman. Who knows? I think that they're either going to draft a receiver, they're going to trade for one, and I also think this kind of means to me that Josh Gordon is in their plans for 2019. I think if they, supposedly he's working his ass off in the offseason, he's training every day. We all know that he's indefinitely suspended. We don't know what that means, if it's 4 games, if it's 8. Like, I have a feeling that the Patriots know kind of what they're looking at, and I think he's in their plans for 2019, and I think that's they're not putting a huge emphasis on the wide receiver position when you look at their depth chart and you don't know if Gronk's going to retire. I think this means Gronk's coming back too.
Okay.
To be honest. So we'll see. But yeah, I did want to talk about Humphries to Tennessee. Hate it.
Yep.
I hated it from a fantasy perspective. You know, you've got Marcus Mariota. They make a trade, which we'll talk a little bit about, for Ryan Tannehill. So this kind of like, all right, what are they doing at quarterback? This Corey Davis there, Taywan Taylor, who I like a lot. It's kind of a mess. I'm avoiding Adam Humphries in fantasy. Like, I'm good. I like the player. I just do not like the landing spot in a run first offense.
I like it. I think he's going to get like 7 for 70 every damn game because Mariota is scared.
He might.
Mariota's
remember
scared.
Delanie Walker's coming back.
That's true. But I mean, they paid Humphries and I think they're going to feed him. I think the like Vrabel is like, yep, this is our Edelman.
So I do want to we'll do a little bit of a roundtable here for time's sake. I'm going to give you guys some of the other signings, and then if you guys want to throw out some observations here on some of these. So big signing for the Raiders outside of the AB trade. We had Tyrell Williams. They also signed J.J. Nelson, former Arizona Cardinals speedster. We had Tim's boy, Chris Conley, going to the Jacksonville Jags.
I like that.
So I know Tim will probably chime in on that one. We had Dante Moncrief. Tyler and I are laying next to each other, hand in hand, on the Dante Moncrief Hill. He went to Pittsburgh, and my initial reaction to that was, I love it. Kevin White went to Arizona. So if he's got any life left in his body for fantasy, like maybe he becomes a thing there.
The retirement home actually let him out to go sign the contract. So
yeah,
that's a plus.
They wanted DK Metcalf light, so they got Kevin White. yeah, I went there. The Buffalo Bills made some moves. They got my boy, John Brown, who I've been a stand for a long time. And they also signed Cole Beasley, which I think is a really good fit. The Miami Dolphins, they re-signed Devontae Parker to a two-year deal.
Mr. Consistency himself.
We were talking about Devin Funchess earlier, and I almost made the segue from like, oh, if you wanted another Devin Funchess, it's Devontae Parker. Yeah. You know, new coaching staff there. Can they breathe some life into him with their new quarterback, who's a little bit of a YOLO chucker down the field, which we'll get to as well. So, Tyler, give me some just, you know, if you have any reactions to any of these other signings that we saw here in free agency.
So I'm just going to go straight to Moncrief. I love it. I posted on Twitter the other day. My main thing on Dynasty is if you have a player that you absolutely love, a player that you have had faith in forever, never give up, never release them, always buy low on them. And if he ever has a high moment, you hold on to that moment. I sold way too much of Dante Moncrief when I had the chance to, and his value just got boosted right up because he, if it's not James Washington, it's Moncrief, and Moncrief is going to play opposite of Juju. He's going to be the outside receiver, and Moncrief has been known to be a good receiver down the field. I think he's going to have his best year yet, guys. I
love it.
This is going to be a huge year. He could be a wide receiver two in fantasy, and all my dreams could be coming true. I'm not joking.
What?
If you play in a fantasy league with Tyler and he does not own Moncrief, start sending him offers immediately. You can take whatever you want from his team.
Honestly,
it sounds like.
I'm telling you guys, a wide receiver two.
Wow. Wowzers.
Top 24.
Tim, where are you going with any of these guys?
I think the Tyrell Williams signing is an underrated one. I mean, there was a lot of hot fire going on out there with these signings and these trades. So Tyrell Williams was a very productive receiver for the Chargers. He's going to go somewhere where, again, he's not going to be the main focus of the passing offense, but he's going to play very well in that role for Derek Carr. He's going to complement AB very well. And then, like Doug said, I got to bring him up. You know, we joke about how he's my wide receiver one, Chris Conley.
I thought he might have been a target for the Patriots.
I thought so, too. I know, he's an athletic guy. He's a metrics guy. The production was just never there. But now, if anybody's going to make him work, obviously it's St. Nick. So you pair these two together. I mean,
Big
we're
D
looking
Nick.
At what? You know, 40 catches, 350 yards, two touchdowns maybe for
touchdowns.
Conley. I mean, he's just skyrocketing.
A game?
He's yeah, a game. That's what we're going to get with.
Setting the world on fire. I just want to talk a little bit about the Buffalo moves. You know, I think this kills Robert Foster a little bit. You know,
hate on Foster.
I like the player. I'm just saying that like a lot of people were high on him, and it also kind of kills Zay Jones. Sorry, Tyler. When you add Cole Beasley for your slot receiver, you add John Brown, that deep threat. Maybe he's going to start opposite Foster. You know, they made a move at tight end, which we'll talk about as well. Adding a decent tight end. I mean, tight ends got paid.
Yeah.
Which was crazy to me. Like when Nick Boyle got $6 million a year and I was like, what? I like the move for real football reasons for Buffalo. I'm still not huge into them for fantasy purposes. But I think they were very good real football moves.
So Beasley was actually signed for locker room music. So I think Zay Jones is still safe.
They needed someone on the mic to, you know, break it down after the game.
Yes.
And you know, Zay's dance move is the reverse getup. That's his thing. Like
that still amazes me.
I've watched that video at least 100 times, and I can't process it how it's physically possible, but it was real. It wasn't edited. Craziness. So let's talk about tight ends because we can spend about a minute and a half on them. This was a very unsexy tight end class, and a lot of players that went to
It's the me spots. Of tight end class. It's my literal tight end of the tight end class.
I would call this tight end class this free agent class, not the draft class, because I do like that, but the free agent class is very meh. So I'll just give you the signings, chip in. Jesse James went to Detroit. He might get some targets there. He's still young. He's only 24 or 25 years old. This also might mean a boost for Vance to make her dance in Pittsburgh, obviously with some vacated targets from AB. His stock is up a little bit.
Those are my crazy.
Tyler Croft went to Buffalo. So they traded Charles Clay to the Arizona Cardinals. So now they've got Jason Kroom, who they like quite a bit, and Tyler Croft. No relation to Lara, as I know. Tyler Eifert re-signed with the Bengals because you got to keep a Tyler on a team with Orange.
They asked me, and I was like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, so Eifert signs a one-year deal. He'll play three games. Cool.
If you thought his back broke, just wait till you see what they do to mine.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, my most disappointing signing from fantasy purposes at tight end. I really wanted to see Demetrius Harris land somewhere where he could be a starter. Now, he's got some questionable hands, but the athletic profile is great. You know, playing behind Kelsey, he had some moments where he flashed a la Rico Gathers. I hate you, Dallas. Freaking Jason Witten, whatever. So Demetrius Harris signs to be Njoku's backup in Cleveland. Drafted by Dorsey, so I get the connection. But I was like, I saw this come through and I was like, really?
Yep.
Wet blanketed.
It was the wet blanket move of the free agent process. Like, I'm thinking Texans. The Texans are going to go after him. New Orleans, New England, Detroit, one of those teams that just desperately needs a tight end. Like, if he'd have gone to New Orleans, I got him so cheap or for free
the back half of last season.
I have him in so many spots thinking, please let him go to New Orleans.
Trey Burton style, yeah.
Please let him go. Oh, my God. And then he goes.
Jared Cook might end up in New Orleans if they still have money left over. They'll just talk to Goodell and he'll be like, you know what? I know I screwed you out of that call. Like, here's a little extra cap space. Don't say anything. Yeah. You can go get Jared Cook and you're good. So he's the best free agent tight end out there. I mean, I know he's like 80 years old, but he's still productive. There was rumors he was going to visit New England too, which would be interesting. Not to make this an all New England podcast. So last but not least, I want to talk a little bit about quarterbacks. Again, a very ugly free agent class of quarterbacks. No big names because they all get locked up. Sorry, Nick Foles. The Eagles let him go. And as reported, Nick Foles signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars for $22 million a year on average. But it's really a two-year deal up until the collective bargaining agreement is up again in 2021. So it's a little bit of fake money with the Foles deal. We had Ryan Tannehill, like we alluded to earlier. He got traded to Tennessee. And Miami actually paid like $5 million of like the $7 million to Tennessee for them to move him to backup Mariota, which was interesting. Teddy Bridgewater, a little bit of rumors that he might go to Miami. They tried to get him late in the process before it was locked and loaded. He decided to stay in New Orleans, which I predicted on our free agency podcast. I thought he was going to be back with New Orleans because, look, here's the thing. Drew Brees is 40 years old. He's going to carry a cap hit of $40 million next year. Do we really think that Brees is going to play on a $40 million number? I think they're going to try to win this year, and he's done afterwards. That's my personal thoughts. So Teddy Bridgewater goes back on a one-year deal. I think he might be the heir apparent to Drew Brees. You know, I think that they tried to draft a quarterback. It's not Taysom Hill, folks. Ew. And then we had a couple interesting backup signings. Tyrod Taylor, another disappointing signing for me. I thought he would go somewhere where he had a shot at getting on the field, but he says, you know what? Nope. I'm going to take, I think it was like $5 or $7 million a year. I'm going to go back up Phillip Rivers and never play again. Yep. For the next 2 years, at least. That was a disappointing one for me. I would have liked to seen him go to Miami. You know, instead we get Ryan Fitzpatrick signed today. I like that move for Kenny Stills. I like that move for Devontae Parker. I like that move for Albert Wilson. We saw what Fitzpatrick can do. He is a YOLO DGAF quarterback. Like, and who can catch those YOLO DGAF balls? Devontae Parker can. Yep. At least he can push it downfield, unlike Tannehill. So maybe this breathes some life into those Miami pass catch. Maybe Mike Gesicki becomes a thing. Who knows?
I thought about that, but I don't remember him really leaning on a tight end too much at any of his stops. So, I mean,
no.
If you can get those guys down the field and stretch it out a little bit. Maybe it helps Gesicki. But yeah, I'm with you. I like this. I like the signing a little bit for the Dolphins. You know, when you
as a 1 year. I mean, they signed him for a 2 year deal. I think Miami, if you want to tank for Tua, they're doing it right, and at least they're not like blatant about it. But they're like, you know what? Like, here's what we're gonna do. Like, we got a new coach, we got a new OC, we got everything's new. We don't have a quarterback. Let's just sign a guy, you know, 1 year, 2 year deal. I don't think they draft a quarterback this year.
Got there. Take our lumps.
Take your lumps. Suck it up. Get the number one pick. Draft Tua if he's their guy. And I think they're doing it right. So it's going to be interesting. You know, a bullet that was dodged for Kenyon Drake and Kalen Ballage. Like, they didn't bring in any free agents. Frank Gore is gone. So, you know, we saw Ballage flash in a big way.
Against Minnesota, yeah.
Now here's the thing, too. So it's a new coaching staff. So Kenyon Drake is out of the Adam Gase doghouse, I think. And I still like Kenyon Drake's talent. So I'm buying Kenyon Drake, and I'm buying I mean, I own Ballage in a ton of spots because he was one of my guys. But, you know, either of those guys came out unscathed, at least through free agency. Now, do they add a running back in the draft? Maybe. But again, a team, they're going to probably, that's a team that can go best player available every single round because that's what they need to do.
Yep.
And, you know, in this running back class, I don't think they're going to reach for a running back. So I think that Drake and Ballage, I like it. I like the two of them.
The only way I see them taking a running back is if, say, Joshua Jacobs drops in the second round and he's there in their lap. But I mean, Jacobs plays a little tougher than Kenyon Drake, but I see a lot of similar traits.
I think Kenyon Drake plays pretty tough. Like, I've seen him make the physical runs. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like
him. Kalen Ballage, he's minority. A project. He's a guy that...
Where is TJ Yeldon going, Tyler?
I don't know, but...
This is what I need to know.
I love TJ Yeldon, how he's just sitting there at, just on a string, you can dangle. I think
no rumors, nothing.
Yeah, I've heard nothing.
TJ Yeldon, it's been quiet.
And maybe
Spencer Ware. Where's Spencer Ware going? Sorry.
Honestly, there's so many spots that I thought could work, but yeah,
so many damn running backs. Jay Ajayi, where's Jay Ajayi?
Jay Ajayi's a guy I think is going to sign late. Like, I think summer is a guy.
He's visiting the Colts this coming week. Which to me means they're kicking tires. If he didn't visit the first week, they're just kicking tires on him.
Agreed. Kicking that knee.
So. Don't kick the knee, mate. No, he's not Australian, he's British.
The only other quarterback I wanted to hit on was the Tannehill trade. Mm-hmm. I think this is the Titans saying, we obviously know our guy can't last 16 games. And you don't
We can't love win games. Tannehill.
I literally better go talk to my wife then.
I mean, you don't love Tannehill, but he's at least competent as a backup.
Yeah, agreed.
You know?
He's got a 4,000-yard season under his belt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, it worries me.
I wouldn't be surprised if they still go.
And he's kind of like, I mean, his game is kind of like Mariota's. So, yeah. I mean, from a playbook scheme, like, it would be relative. I don't want to say it's interchangeable, like, one for one, but it's not that far wrong.
I think Corey Davis is a guy that is... He might be a buy
low. Hashtag free Corey Davis.
I think he might be a buy low at the end of this year. Because honestly, I worry about him. And it's only because of his quarterback. I think he's a good receiver. I just don't think he has a quarterback that matches his play style.
Yep. Yeah.
I agree with that.
100%.
What do you guys think about Foles with the Jags? I actually like this for the Jags ancillary pieces like Dede Westbrook.
For Dede, I think it's great. For the slot receiver there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to pepper Dede with targets. Dede's going to be a big production.
Keelan Cole, everyone's forgotten about him.
I love Conley there.
Go get him. I would say go get any of those Jags pass catchers on the cheap if you can.
I love Conley there because just
not DJ Chark.
What if they see Conley as like an Elshon Jeffrey type guy? Just a big body receiver. Because if you think about his Chiefs career, he had a lot of 70 for 72s, a lot of 6 for 70s. Like, he wasn't used like I felt like he should have been. Like, he's a speed guy, a big speed guy. He should be used down the field. But maybe he is, after those lower leg injuries, maybe he is just an Elshon Jeffrey type, a guy that is a big body, go up and get it type guy. Maybe the lower leg injuries took away some of that speed, and that's what he's resorting to, is a possession, go up and get her.
Go up and get her. That's going to end the pod.
I was going to say, that's what I'm going to do after the podcast ends.
Go up and get her.
Go up and get her. Just go up and get her. She's on stage, man. You got to go up and get her.
But yeah, you guys talked about Fitzmagic when I was upstairs taking care of my crime baby. I like it for Parker. I think that's what Parker needs. It's just the medicine he
hopefully.
Needs.
He's like on a... There's the Moncrief Hill. Parker's on like the mound.
No,
the hill's not quite as high, but I've
given up on Parker a long time ago. But
yeah,
I can't
say
in the Kitchen Sink League, I bought Parker and Josh Gordon for $1 each, just off hope.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that for a buck. Yeah. Hell,
you got Josh Gordon and Bartab for $31, which is that could be huge.
Well, that trade got reversed, so I just re-proposed it because there was a fallout of epic proportions that we won't talk about because it's just really long and convoluted. But yeah. All I gotta say is make sure your books are correct before making trades.
That is correct.
The ripples on that one. Oh, John Bosch, you've been handling it very well, so thank you. So that's going to wrap us up for the Dynasty Happy Hour. I did just want to give a one more shout-out to Trophy Smack as well as a Sit or Start Fantasy app. I also wanted to remind everyone, not only about the Patreon, because you should definitely be a Patreon because we're putting out fire content on the Patreon podcast.
That's a fire.
But also some fur. We've also got the Ultimate Draft Kit coming up from the Fantasy Footballers. Before you know it, you'll be able to pre-order. And the way to get the best discount is to listen to this podcast. So make sure you keep your ears out because they're already working on the draft kit now with free agency in the books. They're writing articles. They're going to be putting together videos. They've got all sorts of awesome stuff. If you want to talk about a stem to stern, thorough draft kit, the Fantasy Footballers is where it's at. So make sure to keep your ears peeled for that promo code when that becomes available. Because we're, you know, it's March now. We've got the draft coming up next month. Lots of stuff going on. Tyler, you want to chime in?
Yeah, and if you guys are going to start up a new fantasy league, go to the best place, myfantasyleague.com. Tons of customization. Go check them out. You guys probably hear about them everywhere. Just use them for a dynasty league. They're the best.
Absolutely. It is a great system. I play most of my dynasty leagues on MFL, and I've been very happy with them. So check out myfantasyleague.com as well. That is going to wrap us up this week. I've been your host, Doug Eddy, with my co-hosts, Tyler Gunther and Tim Keller. We're going to be back next week, so make sure you tune in. And like I said, if you want extra podcasts, like I know the season's kind of quiet, check out the Patreon, guys. Hook us up. We'll hook you up. You know, I rub your back. Tyler rubs mine. Wait, what?
Go up and get her.
On that note, we need to get off here.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.